This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And welcome to Spawned, a common sense, generally fun, and hopefully helpful discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Kristen Chase.
And I'm Liz Gumbiner. We are the co-founders of CoolMomPics.com. We are back for our first episode of 2022. Cue the fanfare. And today we are going to talk about, not so much fanfare, we're going to talk about executive functioning skills in kids. What are they and how can we improve them to help our kids through what's turning out to be another crazy school year?
Yes. And life in general. We all need them, actually. And as always, we will close out our show with our cool picks of the week, and we will be right back jumping into this discussion after this. This episode of Spawned is brought to you by Renzo's Vitamins. Fun fact, did you know one gummy vitamin has as much sugar per ounce as an Oreo? What? That's why pediatricians and dentists recommend Renzo's Vitamins for kids. They are sugar-free, vegan, allergy-free, and best of all, gummy-free, while still providing kids with complete nutrition for all their vitamin needs. With Renzo's Vitamins for kids, you'll get peace of mind knowing your kids are getting the right nutrients in one healthy tablet. Even if the only vegetable they'll eat is ketchup. And I may know a thing or two about that. You can visit RenzosVitamins.com. That's R-E-N-Z-O-S vitamins.com. And use code SPAWNED to get $5 off any product. And if you're looking for an even sweeter deal, click on Renzo's subscribe and save tab on their homepage to join their subscription program. And you can save 15% every month. Your kids love it or you get your money back. So go to RenzosVitamins.com, R-E-N-Z-O-S vitamins.com. Use code SPAWN to get $5 off any product or click on their subscribe and save tab on their homepage to join their subscription program and save 15% every month. All right, so let's share a little bit about our guest. Mara Kaufman is an LA-based learning specialist who spent over a decade helping support students and families through the ups and downs of school. And boy, are we in them right now. She has a master's in general and special education from NYU's Steinhardt School. And her main focus is on executive functioning skills, helping families create plans and structure that can better allow kids to overcome learning obstacles and to succeed in school and in life.
Mara co-founded Brain Trust Tutors, where she's also the CEO. Brain Trust is a platform that connects kids with learning disabilities and ADHD with certified teachers and specialists for private tutoring so that they can help make educational support more accessible and more effective for families everywhere. And we know she's going to have so much helpful information about so many questions we all have today. So welcome, Mara.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. We're glad to have you. I know you just made the move from NYC to LA and you picked a good month to have done that because it's like negative 8 billion right now outside where I am. It's nice and toasty in the podcast closet. How about where you are, Mara?
I'm definitely appreciating the sunshine and the warm weather, especially as a mother of two little boys who have way too much energy. And it was hard to kill time inside in New York City in the winter.
Yes.
Well, especially going on 2 years of being indoors nonstop. A lot of us are freshening up our couch pillows and painting our walls because we've been staring at the same stuff for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. I gave away and donated like boxes of toys once we arrived here because I was like, where did all of these things come from? But it was 100% just trying to keep kids entertained throughout the long winters and all the time we've had to spend inside.
So you get it.
Yeah. And you know, we're so happy to talk to you. We have kids who are school age. They're in school, all sorts of grade levels and learning. We've been in this pandemic for 2 years, but I feel like learning right now, like we are at peak struggle. Like, I don't know, Liz, how you feel about it, but I feel like this feels like the toughest time. So talking to you about executive functioning skills is so timely, but can we just like start at the very beginning? Let's Julie Andrews this, as I like to say. my musical theater background coming out. I hear executive function. I hear executive functioning skills, and I'm familiar with them, but I know a lot of people might not be, even though the skills themselves we use every single day. So can you talk about what the correct term is, what they are, and why they're so important?
Yeah. So executive function skills we do use all day, every day in order to navigate life. I think the easiest way to think of them is sort of as the CEO of our brains. So they're the skills we use to set goals and make plans to achieve them, to monitor our progress as we're working to meet those goals, and also the skills that we use to learn from experience. So when things go well, we want to recognize the steps and choices that we made to achieve that success. And when things don't go as planned, or when we run into unforeseen challenges, we also want to be reflective about the steps that got us into that position and recognize that next time we want to try and do something differently in order to achieve a better outcome. And I always say to parents that throughout life, the ability to try new things and be flexible and take chances, even though it might not lead to a successful end result, that doing things differently, learning from experience, is progress no matter what. And that is a good thing. So it's also those executive function skills that allow us to recognize that even when things don't go as planned, doing things differently and taking chances and approaching challenges with a positive mindset is a really important thing. And our executive function skills help us to have that overall perspective in life.
Mm. And I feel like these days, with flexibility being not only essential, but I would say we have no choice. It's really hard to plan our lives, our futures, day to day, hour by hour. So I would think it's more important than ever. And I'm wondering if you could explain briefly how executive function skills are typically taught, or how they're learned, and how that evolves over time as you get older.
Yeah. So these are skills we are born with, sort of an initial set. It's almost like when kids start crying and they recognize that if they cry, they'll get their parents' attention. Once that connection is made, that's actually kind of the beginning of our executive function skills developing. And they continue to develop until the time that we're in our early 20s. And for most of us, the assumption is that they're just going to naturally fall into place. Oftentimes, as I think so many parents and kids recognize, is that they don't just naturally fall into place. And those are the times when you see kids that are just like forgetting everything, or parents that have a hard time keeping up with their email inbox or responding to text messages on time or forgetting things all the time. You know, these skills sometimes fall into place very naturally. Other times they need to be explicitly taught. But more often than not, we don't teach them, because it's this sort of invisible skill set that happens inside of our brain that we just don't really talk about with frequency. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag.
Well, we're talking about them now.
And I love talking about it anytime. So.
Yeah, well, we're shining a light on it, because I think what's interesting, and I have worked in the past as a therapist and educator, and in my observation and speaking with my colleagues and seeing it in families and with kids, a lot of these things manifest in ways that we may think of as like lazy, yeah, right? Or forgetful, or like they're procrastinating, or they're disorganized, you know, even like reluctance to do things can actually be a level of dysfunction in executive function skills. So can you talk more about that? Because I know as parents, it's like, you know, we had like Dr. Ken Ginsberg on, and he talks about like irritability can be a sign of depression. It can be hard for parents to know what's really going on.
Sure.
So can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So executive function challenges express themselves in a lot of different ways, as you noted. For some, it's that parents see their kids, there's the phrase smart but scattered, that I think is very recognizable for a lot of families. It's the kids that can do really well on their homework assignments. They understand things. They're great readers. They're great mathematicians. They're great writers, but they're constantly forgetting their assignments at home, or they're forgetting books at school, or they forget their gear for soccer class, or they're just taking forever to get downstairs and get out of the door on time. Those sorts of things are one way in which we see executive function challenges come out. Other times it's more academic applications. So kids might intellectually have no challenge with the actual content and the learning and understanding of ideas from their classes. but they might just struggle to approach their essays in an organized way or understand how to study for a test. And oftentimes that has to do with having good learning strategies in place and understanding how to, again, learn from experiences and be flexible enough to recognize that, hey, you know, I just had this French test that I totally bombed, even though I feel like I can do okay in class in terms of being able to speak with my teacher, it might just be an issue of spelling. And perhaps kids are studying for their tests on Quizlet, where they're able to recognize and match words, but they're not actually practicing writing them down with all of the correct accents and spelling. And that's why their tests are going poorly.
That's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. It's a really interesting part of learning to think about, because you have to be very creative, I think, and you have to be really sort of thoughtful in understanding where exactly skills are breaking down in order to figure out what an alternative solution might be.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And, you know, you've got smart kids who, you know, my youngest was actually recently diagnosed with ADHD and has had some executive functioning skill issues. And what they found is that she was kind of getting by because she was a smart kid, right? So she was able to sort of manage in her early elementary years, kind of. But then as she was getting to more difficult things like math word problems were really tricky for her. That's really what it came down to, was it was actually executive functioning, right? So, you know, IQ and aptitude, you know, and certainly was able to do those things, but that's where the breakdown was. And I have to say, being able to identify that and then understand that there were different approaches that could work with her, it was very reassuring for me as a parent, especially since my other kids, I have four kids, so my other kids weren't experiencing that. Mm-hmm. And so as a parent, I was like, well, what's going on? How can I help? I think a lot of parents, and you could talk to this, feel helpless. And, you know, I'm wondering what else you encounter, frustration or worry when it comes to working with families.
Yeah. So kind of to your own experience, oftentimes executive function challenges and or ADHD, which often come hand in hand, are diagnosed at these moments of transition in a child's development. So the jump from elementary to middle school is a big moment of diagnoses. So is the jump from middle school to high school, because a child's early years, we spend so much time setting them up for success, whether it's at home and parents who, you know, they're organizing the lunchbox, they're giving their kids reminders, they're organizing their room for them, they're getting them out the door and planning all of their activities. There aren't many opportunities, or there aren't as many opportunities for kids to visibly struggle in the same way. You know, then they go to middle school and all of a sudden it's like, well, you've been doing this for the past 10 years. You know how to get your shoes on yourself and you know where to find things in your bedroom and you've been writing essays forever. So now the fact that your teacher isn't giving you a graphic organizer and telling you to make an outline, you know what you should do. So why aren't you doing it?
Oh yeah. My daughter really struggled in sixth grade when she got to middle school for that reason, like really needed help with organizational skills. And I think it's really interesting that you're bringing up the times that we noticed this, that, you know, it's not just kids with ADHD or kids on the spectrum, but that even neurotypical kids can struggle with executive function issues certain times in their life. And I'm curious, like now thinking pandemic, as we often do these days, like kids are under so much stress. We talk about mental health issues now and the impact of schools being open and closed and having no set idea of what tomorrow looks like. And I'm wondering how anxiety, stress, lack of sleep, and, you know, some of the environmental issues that kids can't control affect these skills, even in kids who may normally have a pretty good grasp on them.
Yeah. So anxiety and executive function challenges and ADHD also go in a big group together. Mm-hmm. So when kids are feeling more anxiety, I think these challenges are often intensified, because when we're most successful is when we feel a sense of control, right? We know what to expect. We know how to plan for those things. We don't have to make a lot of decisions on the fly or in sort of an impulsive way, because we aren't faced with the uncertainty of our days. When we do have more and more uncertainty around us, it of course creates more anxiety. That's just normal. And when we have more anxiety, we're less likely to take chances and make smart decisions, simply because we begin to act more out of a irrational sort of like fear response. It's more of that like flight response of, I just want to solve this problem and avoid it rather than confront it head on and perhaps come up with the best solution for it. Mm-hmm. So I think that is one way in which the anxiety impacts it. Plus, there's so much instability that we're experiencing just in our day-to-day existence of not knowing what to expect. And if we don't know what to expect, there's no way to proactively plan to be successful in any of those circumstances, simply because despite our best efforts, things just don't go as planned, which can also be frustrating for all of us, right? Like when you expect that you can send your kids to school and you plan your entire day around sending your kids to school, and then all of a sudden you get notified that you have to pick them up because someone in their class is sick, then everything just erupts into chaos for parents and for kids alike. So those executive function challenges, I just feel like, are highlighted and intensified in ways that we simply can't control, which can be frustrating.
I'm listening to you speak and I'm thinking of all the circumstances that we've encountered, not just our kids, right? Like, it's adults too, especially now. What would you say to parents who are struggling with their own executive functioning? Like, I can think, you know, like we're forgetting things or like having to pivot. Like you said, it's like we have our kids and they're going to school and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, there was an exposure, you're staying home. Is there, you know, a great resource or do you have suggestions as to what we can do? Can you speak to the parents? Like, what can we do for ourselves?
You know, I think number one, take some deep breaths and try and calm down.
Yes.
Because it's really frustrating and it's really hard. And if we are kind of frazzled, nothing in the family works well, right? Because we kind of have to set that example and really model the behavior that we want our kids to also demonstrate.
Right.
And I think that taking care of our mental health and trying to find some mental space in our brains to give ourselves a moment is really important. Mm-hmm. And I think beyond that, communication and planning are sort of the best tools that we can have, because if we're able to communicate both with the people in our lives that are potentially available to help us and work with us to kind of solve these challenges together, it's at least a little bit of a support network through these challenging times. And also, it's important to be able to communicate as much as possible professionally with those that are relying on us to do the work that pays the bills, that kind of makes life also possible. Simply because if our colleagues don't know about sort of these unforeseen circumstances that we're having to navigate, it can create more frustration and less proactive planning at work, which can also create more chaos, which will create more stress for us. It's sort of like that snowball effect. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like just recognizing the fact that our brains are so full and juggling so many things at once. I live and die by checklists because I know that I am always trying to remember 10,000 things that I'm inevitably going to forget unless I write them down. Mm-hmm. And simply recognizing that when we're in these sorts of circumstances, our brains just don't work as well. You know, the more tools and outside resources that we can rely on, the more likely we are to navigate these challenges successfully.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up to-do lists, but I think it's not just to-do lists to write down. Like, I've noticed with my daughter, if she's feeling anxious about something, I'll say to her something like, why don't you write down all of the things you're anxious about? And there's something about making that list that gives her control or helps her see it or gets the mental load out of her head. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe you have a better understanding, but I feel like writing down all the things that are bothering her, it's like another thing she doesn't have to remember, another list in her head. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It's always a good thing to talk about strengths and challenges. And, you know, this sort of underlying layer of executive function skills is something called metacognition, or like our metacognitive awareness. And metacognition is really our understanding of ourselves. So the things that we are good at, the things that are hard for us, the strategies that work well, the strategies that we struggle with. And in the same way that that can apply to sort of tasks that we have to do, it can just as easily apply to our feelings and emotions and our responses to things. And so just being able to recognize like, hey, this thing is making me feel really uncomfortable, will put all of us in a position to be able to then recognize that is a problem and that is a source of my current discomfort. And if I can name it, then I can come up with a plan for how to solve it. And if I can come up for a plan how to solve it, I can find relief.
Yes.
That's great.
I think that's so important. It can be as simple as like, I keep losing my keys, right?
Like, 100%.
Which I guess isn't really simple because we all need our keys. But, you know, to something more complicated, like I'm worried about getting COVID at school.
Yeah.
And so being able to, like you said, communicate, say it out loud or write it down, it allows us to problem solve, whether it's with our partners, if we have a partner, or with our family or with our kids. So I think that's super important. We actually had a question on Instagram. One of the parents who messaged us was wondering, does coaching work? Like, what sorts of interventions do you suggest for a child who's struggling? Maybe it's showing up in their schoolwork. Maybe, you know, they're frustrated with their morning routine or doing homework, which I think those are kind of the two big things we typically see. Like, what do you say about that? What are your suggestions?
So I think coaching does work. I'd say that most parents would agree it becomes very hard for them to act as the coach.
Yes.
Especially when their kids are teenagers who are very over feeling like a child and needing their parents' help. It can create a lot of conflict in the relationship. So bringing in an outside support or coach can be really instrumental in beginning to create some of those changes. Also, some kids are just in the mode of looking at their parents and being like, ugh, you don't understand. Like, you don't get it. You're too old. You're beyond this point in life. And so bringing in a coach that is a little bit more relatable, that can serve as both a support and also really like a mentor, can be really, really helpful. The other thing that I always tell parents, it's important to recognize when beginning that process, though, is the coaching process is really two steps. The first step is teaching kids a new skill or a new strategy that they can use to overcome a common challenge, right? So that might be they're missing homework assignments. And so the solution is to adopt some sort of planner or planning-like tool that they can use to better manage those assignments and their after-school time. That's the skill that they need to learn. Mm-hmm. But then the challenge is turning that skill into a habit, because 9 times out of 10, kids recognize they need a planner, right? They heard it the entire time they were in elementary school. They probably had teachers saying it to them a lot in the early days of middle school. At that point, they didn't need it. So they never learned how to use it. And then they kind of blew it off as a tool that was important. Then it needs to be introduced and they need to really adopt using it with frequency. And that habit formation, I think, is the most challenging piece of the executive function skill building puzzle, because the only way in which we build a habit is by doing something over and over and over and over again. And for most of us, it'll take at least 20 repetitions to turn something into a habit. And if a child struggles with ADHD, it's going to probably take more than 20 times. So those coaching sessions can be really impactful in changing those habits. It's just a question of kind of the length of time it takes for kids to really internalize those strategies and begin to apply them and generalize them outside of tutoring sessions.
I think that makes perfect sense.
That is so helpful and specific and fantastic. Yes. I am not a former therapist and not an expert on this. And like, I'm learning so much and I'm really grateful for this. I think this is putting some stuff into stark perspective about me, myself, and my own kids, people in my family, and you're a great resource. I could see why Brain Trust is so successful.
Oh, thank you so much.
So where's the best place to find you if our listeners want to learn more or follow you or hit you up on the socials?
So we have our Instagram channel, Brain Trust Tutors. Our website is braintrusttutors.com. Parents can always email me at mara@braintrusttutors.com. I love talking with parents and supporting families that are navigating all these sorts of challenges. And I work with a network of certified teachers and executive function experts nationwide who are available to help parents navigate these challenging waters and hopefully alleviate some of that stress and anxiety and frustration that we're all experiencing. And that's just hard to see as a parent.
Amazing. Grateful for you and everything you're doing for families now when we need it most. So Mara, you're going to stick around for our cool picks of the week. Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic. We wouldn't want to do it without you. And we'll be back with that right after this. So Kristen, this is fascinating. Mara mentioned the importance of doing breathing exercises, and she had no idea that this episode happens to be sponsored in part by Breathwork. Do you know Breathwork?
Yes, I read about it. I have downloaded it and I am using it because I need help. I need help breathing.
Exactly. Well, we're all struggling with things like focus, anxiety, stress, sleeplessness, lack of energy, inability to get up in the morning, all those things. I'm like, yes, yes, check off. check off.
Yes.
And we've actually been sharing a lot of tips about these things on Cool Mom Picks and Cool Mom Tech. And one of them is the Breathwork app. It's Breathwork, Breathwork. So maybe you've seen it. It's a top-rated 5-star app, and it's all about improving mental and physical resilience. It's helping so many people. They have 3 million followers on TikTok.
Whoa.
That's how many people are like desperate for breath work these days to help them with all the things that ail them.
Yes.
And it's really all about helping you get the support you need to function better every day. Basically, I don't know, one breath at a time, let's say.
Yes.
Everybody says one day at a time. One breath at a time these days is more like my motto.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if you go on the app, when you download it, they offer breathing exercises that are all backed by clinical science. So you can learn to calm yourself during stressful moments or panic attacks. You can find energy you didn't know you had, fall asleep more quickly and easily, and even wake up fresh without feeling like you just want to crawl back under the covers.
I swear somebody has like a little secret monitor in my bedroom and they're like looking at all the things I'm doing these days, and then they're writing the ad copy.
Yeah.
I actually breathwork. Well, I've talked about it, that like apps like this have really saved me. And here's the cool thing about breathwork is that our listeners get to try it free for 30 days. It's normally 7 days, but you get to try it for 30 days when you go to breathwork.com/spawned. That's Breath, W-R-K. So just take out the O, breathwork.com/spawned. The cool thing is also the program's customized around your own needs. So it's not just exercises here and there. Like, I don't know, Kristen, what do you need to do? Like, what's like a pain point in your day?
Typically for me, it's like afternoon, right? Like I made it through the morning. I got like all the energy. And then in the afternoon, like the kids are coming home from school, I'm in my car. And I'll tell you what, I'm in my car so much by like Thursday, I am ragey.
Ragey. For me, the afternoons to me is like the energy dip, because suddenly I'm like, why do I need a cupcake and a vanilla latte right away? And I realize like, oh, energy. So I've been actually using breathwork exercises, and it really helps you to kind of refocus on what you really need at the time, which is usually just to take a deep breath. And again, it isn't just for adults. Kids find it useful too. There's like kid-friendly visuals. It's really very charming, very nicely designed. You know, I'm kind of a design nerd, and I think it's like a really beautiful app also. So once again, for our listeners, for a limited time, sign up for an annual subscription to Breathwork at breathwork.com/spawned. First of all, you'll get an extended 30-day free trial. So basically try it out. See how you like it. We think you will like it.
Yeah, for a whole month. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's great. And then after that, when you sign up, you'll get full access to their library, which happens to be the largest library of breathing exercises in the world. And you'll get that all for 50% off. You'll also get pro features like customization, personalized reminders, progress tracking. There's so much stuff. It's a great app. There's a reason they have 3 million TikTok followers. So again, Breathwork, Breathwork.com/spawned to start your free 30-day trial today.
All right. Well, now it's time for
Cool Picks of the Week. Cool Picks of the Week.
And Mara, you're our guest, so you get to go first.
So my cool pick of the week has really been my savior over the course of the pandemic. And my husband, when I was telling him what my cool pick was going to be, was like, that is so uncool. But I discovered Stephen King books over the course of this pandemic. And I will liken my obsession with reading these books, which are just like pure page turning escapes, to finding like the most incredible TV series that's been on for like a decade and just being able to binge watch everything. So, you know, for any parents, adults, teens out there looking for a great book to fill time and create a distraction from all the challenges that we're navigating on a daily basis, Stephen King is a godsend. And, you know, if you're just finding him now, then you have decades worth of books to dive into.
Mara, you're a woman after my own heart, because when I was in high school and college, I literally read every single Stephen King book that came out at that point, including The Stand, which took me like an entire summer.
Yeah.
And also his short story books, I don't know if you've gotten to those yet, are fantastic, like Skeleton Key. They're just so good. And you realize how many many movies have come out of his short stories.
Yes.
Oh, I love Stephen
King.
And
by the way, books are always cool.
Yeah.
Husband of Mara.
Yes, Mara's husband. We like the books.
I think he's a little sick of hearing me talk about them nonstop. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And I just finished, there was the Dead Slinger series sort of this like opus. I mean, it was probably 3,000-4,000 pages in total spread out over 8 books, but it's every single Stephen King character and all of his other books influence this one weird Western sci-fi story.
Wow.
It's a commitment, mm-hmm. but if you're into it, it's been phenomenal.
But the children love the books.
Well, that is the perfect segue for my cool pick, because I have to recommend the show everyone is talking about. It's on Showtime, Yellow Jackets. And in fact, Stephen King himself tweeted that he thought it was the most amazing show he'd seen in a long time. It is so dark and so good. If you like Stephen King, you will like this. I will say, at first, I thought it was going to be like Lord of the Flies with a high school girl soccer team. It is a little bit, but it's like a little Lost meets Alive meets Mean Girls. It's like part supernatural, part mystery, all kinds of insanity. Again, very dark, but really good.
I'm into it.
It's great. Ugh.
I have it on my list.
I don't know. Kristen, you have to watch it just so we can talk about it, because it's like one of those shows like Lost where everybody has theories and I need to discuss theories with you.
All right. Well, my boyfriend is obsessed with Station 11 and I'm not sure if I can hack that. So
that's
we'll
next
see.
On my list.
Woo, baby. He said it's awesome. I'm unsure if I can watch something about a pandemic while in a pandemic. I think you have more of the chops for that, Liz. I don't know.
I think it's kind of cathartic or something to watch really dark things.
I don't know. I'd rather watch Queer Eye on loop. Anyway, my cool pick of the week is my new Dribble Up ball. We've actually featured them, I think, on Cool Mom Tech. They make like a smart basketball, soccer ball, which is really cool because it syncs up with your phone. There's an app on your phone. And so kids can like practice and track their skills. It's really awesome. But they have a medicine ball, and I got the 10-pound one, and I've actually been doing workouts. So again, it syncs with the app on your phone. You set up your phone so it can track you. And I've been doing just like these quick, like 6-7 minute weight bearing workouts. And I have to say, I get a decent amount of cardio, but I needed some weights. So yeah. And people know them more, I think, for their kids stuff. So like for the soccer ball or the basketball, but heads up, they've got a medicine ball. So anyway, that is my cool pick of the week. And of course, we will link up everything, Mara's website, our cool picks of the week, every single Stephen King book. I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But the best of the best over on coolmompicks.com. Thanks so much for joining us for our first episode of Spawned in 2022. Huge thanks to our awesome engineer, John Bowen. If you've got a moment and you didn't leave us a 5-star review or a rating last year, hey, start the new year off well. Like, make us all happy. It'll be great. Just do it. You can subscribe. You can download our episodes. It helps other listeners like you find us.
And hey, you can also join us on Facebook. We are all kinds of places. We are in the Spawned podcast community. We're chatting about show topics or anything anybody else wants to talk about. We are in Out Tech Your Kids, talking about technology and safety and online stuff of all kinds. And we are in Recipe Rescue, talking about feeding our kids, because yes, we have to do that again another day, unfortunately, as you all know. Thank you so much for listening to Spawned. This is Liz.
And this is Kristen. Have a great day.
And Happy New Year.
Bye.